Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Behind the Scenes podcast. We got a fun episode today. We are going to be talking about running a business with your spouse, raising kids together with two people that have been doing it very successfully for close to 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. They have four kids.
Yeah, they got four kids. And they're some of our closest friends, mm-hmm. Aaron and Jen Smith with Marriage After God. They have a podcast, Marriage After God. It's super amazing if you haven't given that a listen. And they're writing a book, Marriage After God. And they're kind of professionals at self-publishing. Mm-hmm. This one's not self-published. I think they're with Zondervan for this, but yeah, they've self-published quite a few books and they've been monumental in Audrey's and my journey mm-hmm. To running a business and stuff. And Aaron's mentored me just a lot through
totally.
This.
On personal levels and business levels, we look up to them a lot. And they just have a lot of wisdom to share with you guys on this episode. So we're excited to have you guys tuning in.
Super smart couple, super wise couple. We had our notepads out, so you might want to do the same. So without further ado, here we go, Aaron and Jen Smith. All right, so here we are in Bend, Oregon with Aaron and Jen Smith, some really good friends of ours, also known for Marriage After God podcast and their upcoming book, Marriage After God. Guys, we're excited to have you on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Awesome. So Aaron and Jen are some really good friends of ours. Yeah, we've known you guys for how long now?
Like 3.5 years?
Yeah.
It feels like longer than
that. It does feel like longer.
Almost 4 years now, probably.
Yeah, coming up there. Yeah. So to jump right in, I think we're just going to ask you guys the big, broad question, who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about. Give us a little background.
So we've been married for coming up on 12 years.
January, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And we have four kids, and all real young. Our oldest is 6. And
your youngest is?
4 months old.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
baby
Trix.
Six,
so cute.
3, 2,
and four months. Yeah. And do you want to share some of our background, just what we do? And
yeah, we've been doing marriage ministry now for officially
7 years.
7 years. And we, you know, I have Husband Revolution. You have Unveiled Wife on social media. We use those platforms to encourage marriages, mm-hmm. tell our story, tell what God's teaching us in our life. We have a bunch of books that we've written.
A lot of books.
A lot
and
of
devotionals.
Books.
And
yeah, devotionals, prayer books. We have a new book coming out next year called Marriage After God. And we started our Marriage After God podcast knowing that the book was coming out. And we just realized that we should be talking about it more often.
Totally.
So now we do a weekly show.
Love it.
Yeah.
So
and
good.
Jeremy, one of the things you asked was, you know, things we're passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing up, one of the things I was always passionate about was writing. And so it's been really awesome to see God use that passion in my heart and the giftings that Aaron has just to build what we have. Mm,
totally.
And to be able to write books together. It's been a really incredible blessing.
Yeah, what's crazy is I never knew I was going to be a writer.
Yeah.
And now
dude.
We're like writing books and...
And
you know,
killing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And if you guys, for everyone listening, if you guys are looking for like an amazing marriage podcast, their podcast is awesome and you guys should definitely
thank
check
you.
It out.
That's really, I really
appreciate
for
sure.
That. Yeah.
So you guys, did you guys always like think you would start working together, or is it kind of something that just happened?
Well, they did some other stuff before they did marriage ministry together.
Yeah, because Unfilled
Life. You did like the photography thing and the missionary. They lived in their truck for a while in Africa. Yeah. It's some crazy adventures.
So how did like the whole, I just want to hear a little bit more about like how it all kind of started. Because Unfilled Life's a pretty, that's a pretty large platform at this point. Mm-hmm. And then Husband Revolution, and you guys have just, it's been books and books. And for we've talked about Aaron and Jen, for a while now, because they helped us self-publish the marriage journal and just helped us get going on Beating 50% and all that. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But so Unveiled Wife, how did that start? And then that's kind of propelled you guys to where you're at now. So,
yeah, well, going way back, like when we were dating, we talked about wanting to do something together for the Lord. Like we knew our dating relationship was pretty serious, that we wanted to get married.
Well, I told you, I was like, I'm not interested in dating unless it's leading to marriage.
Yeah, and I just wanted to get married, so.
I put my intentions out right at the beginning. She was ready to get married right then.
Yeah, I was. So we always like dreamed about what we would do together, and then we decided to jump into missions together right away, right after we got married. And so that was kind of the launch pad for us of working together, really.
Well, I remember telling you when I actually proposed to you, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. I don't know if I'm ever going to make a lot of money for us, but I said, whatever we do, we're going to do it together.
And we're going to do it for the Lord.
Yeah.
So you guys always that heart to work together.
From day one. Yeah.
Wow. And even in the times that we had separate jobs, because I was a preschool teacher assistant and he did graphic design stuff, we would always find another way to work together, whether it was volunteer work or, you know, doing the photography
even
stuff
when we were
to
dating,
get out of debt.
You just brought this up a couple episodes ago on our podcast, how when we were dating, we were doing youth ministry together for years.
Yeah.
And
playing
I totally
games
forgot
kids.
About that. It was like a big part of our life, but I just forgot about it until she brought it up.
So it happens when you're married 12 years.
I guess, yeah. So we've been doing things as a team since even before dating, which is pretty awesome to think about, actually.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of people ask us, you know, like, hey, you guys are working together. It's awesome. How'd you do it? How'd it happen? And the internet now is such an amazing tool to allow people to kind of make the jump or the bridge, the gap, I guess you could say, to be able to take a passion or a hobby and turn it into something that is not only that, but also makes them money.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so many more married couples, I feel like, are even just friends that we have are starting these side hustles together just because they crave something together, whether it's a passion that isn't bringing in income or whether it's something that they hope to become their
So that
career, you know.
Yeah, totally. And that being
it's
said,
just more common now.
We've done the gap. Like, babe, we left kind of the show to complete the gap, right? Mm-hmm. We left that in order to pursue some of these ventures. And Aaron and Jen were a big part of like teaching us how that process kind of worked so that we could do that. So you guys want to kind of give us a little, like, what's your framework look like or your outline or your routine or your, I mean, it's just, let's kind of dive into like the scheduling of it. Cause that's, I think, something Aj and I struggled in a lot this last year. And I think for a lot of people working together, it's probably one of the biggest hurdles to overcome is because one thing companies do give you is like, is the routine.
Structure.
Yeah. So when you don't
when
have
you have
that,
to structure yourself.
And you're left to structure yourself.
And you're just your own husband, wife,
it's
team.
It's a mess.
And to figure out how to do that.
And I hope I didn't throw that on you unexpectedly.
No, that's
it's a great question.
You guys have been doing it a long time. So.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the first thing that came to my mind is that our structure has mutated over time.
I was going to say evolved was our word.
It's evolved,
And I'm sure it's had to do with more kids.
Yes.
Were there some like tough years where you were like, oh man, this is, I don't know.
Seasons.
Yeah, we've had seasons. I would say seasons. Never
years.
Long seasons, not years.
Yeah.
But in and out of seasons of, okay, we need to readjust. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out, you know, what's going to work for us right now.
Yeah, I guess my first response to that would be, there is no perfect. So we have not figured out a perfect solution.
Funny,
Because every season of life, there's new obstacles, new hindrances, new distractions. And, you know, the new season, we have four kids, a little baby. You know, we're parenting and learning how to parent a young man growing up and a little boy and a little girl and an infant.
Yeah.
And we're also trying to figure out how to be good husbands and wives and good, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, and where there's lots of things, you know. So oftentimes, like you said, social media is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm. Oftentimes we only see compartments of people's lives, and
totally.
man, that compartment looks so perfect.
Totally.
But you know what? We're not compartments. We're humans, and we have we have an infinite number of elements that are involved in the creation of the thing we do. So we've learned that we do things in seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some seasons are harder than others. Some seasons are easy.
Totally.
And some seasons are way more structured. I remember when we first jumped into doing Unveiled Wife full time. We had launched our first devotional. You were writing every night to get the devotional done. I took 6 months off of work. I quit to do it full time. We were going to try it.
That was our first
one. And we're like, okay, we have this social media schedule. We're going to post 3 times a day. One's going to be a post about the book on Amazon, and 3 posts are going to be encouragements and prayers. And
not working your full-time job at this point?
This is when we first
tried and you're like taking the leap.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's after having done it for about two and a half years.
Yeah. Before.
And no kids yet.
No. Elliot.
We just had Elliot.
And you're taking the leap.
Yeah.
And we're taking
that's when we decided to take the leap.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had this content schedule, and we were like, okay, on Mondays, we're going to just, you know, schedule things. We're going to write these things. This is how many articles I'm going to be building the website. How long did that last? 6 months?
I mean, for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to go back to work.
I went back to work for another
6 months.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But here's the thing, like what I think about is it is messy, and sometimes you just got to embrace that and know like, okay, it's not going to look perfect, but we're going to try our best, and we're going to, you know, try and work around whatever obstacles we have or situations or things that come up. And I would say that one of my favorite things about working together with you, Aaron, is having the freedom of flexibility in our scheduling. So, you know, maybe today we're structured and tomorrow something comes up and we're not.
Isn't that why we operate like that, work for ourselves?
Yes.
Sometimes we are.
We're like so rigid sometimes. And then we're like, wait, we work for ourselves so that we can just go to the beach today if we want to.
Okay with that.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
And sometimes we're not. We need to be better about being okay with that.
And then other times we overwork ourselves because we know we had deadlines or we have goals to hit or we know we have too much freedom. So then you try and, you know, put the brakes on it and just work really hard. And so it does get messy, but I think that embracing that mess is good.
That's good. And I feel like working for yourself in today's world is so over glamorized. Like even us this last year, especially, we really realized like, oh, wow. Like,
this is a lot of work.
This is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, you just have to be
for everything.
So intentional.
I feel like also,
like, so boundaries.
There's a gap. Like, when you do want to go start a business or start something online, there's that bridge you got to jump, that gap you got to jump, that bridge you got to walk, you know? And for a lot of people, it's easy, but I think something really has to be burning for you to do it. Like, for you guys, it was the ministry, right? Yeah. Right up in front.
Yeah.
And we had our reasons too. But a lot of people just want to kind of do it to do it. And then they realize, oh, wow, like this is not what I thought it was. And I think for us personally, 2018 was a year of abundance, but it was also a year of realizing like, wow, without structure, this is super difficult and a little unhealthy. Yeah. So 2019, our last podcast was about goals. We're going to go into it with a lot more goals. And those goals ideally will imply like rhythms and structure where we get off work at a certain time and we give us that structure that other things aren't giving us.
And that's, I mean, just going off of that, babe, like for you guys, do you guys have certain boundaries that are your hard and fast, black and white? These are our work boundaries. We don't, you know, for us, like we don't work in bed. We don't work, like there's certain things. Do you guys have things like that? Because we're looking for more of them.
I would say overall, generally, no. Now, that doesn't mean we're right in that. Mm-hmm. There's definitely times where we're like, man, we need some more boundaries. There's things that we try and work on for our family. So like phone use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's not work. Mm-hmm. More often than not, it's not work. So I would say one of the boundaries that we've...
I was going to say, that's a big one for me, being with the kids all day, because I can easily say or justify, oh, I'm just going to be on my phone real quick to post, but I really shouldn't be doing it in front of the kids, you know, my eyes should be on them and their eyes on me.
That is so hard.
Yeah.
It's super hard. One.
That's a big boundary.
We do that.
We're not very good at it.
I try and leave my phone in my bedroom.
Practicing.
Really?
Yeah, leaving our phones away from us helps.
Right. Yeah.
And another thing is telling our kids they have permission to tell us to get off our phones.
Interesting.
But here's what's funny is they did it without us giving us permission.
They didn't ask you?
Oh, my son. Convicting. One day we had a podcast about this. It like made me cry. He's like, Dad, what do you love your phone more than me? Yeah, he said that. And you know what?
They realize it.
If I'm looking at my phone more than my son, What does that tell them?
Yeah.
Is that for you? I mean, like right now we're recording this podcast, guys, in Jen and Aaron's office at their house late at night in Vent. So
all the kids are sleeping.
Was that before the office? Because now you have a place to go that's away.
That was during the office.
So are you still working in the house sometimes with them? Or do you come out here?
Yeah, that goes to one of the things that we've put in place that has definitely helped us is I used to work in the house and that was super hard because there was no distinctive boundaries. I'm home. So Jennifer's like, well, can you help me with this? Can you help me?
Right.
And just
distracting for
efficiency
the kids.
Efficiency is like my kids see me that it's hard for them to understand dad's working. I can't talk to him.
Yeah. How do you?
Because getting out into the garage has made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So literally I'm walking 20 feet away from my house and that made a big difference just in my efficiency, being able to work, focus.
For us, that would be...
It'd be huge, which is what we're trying to do.
And
with
we have
our
a 15
office.
Month old, but just...
But imagine when you have
being
four
on
kids.
Our computers with, oh my I gosh, I know.
That
way.
Are all at varying ages
well,
and
you have to have an office.
And,
this is where like the goal setting thing really hit us hard this year is because we realized, whoa, like we want to have more kids. And Ember is a full-time job. I actually watched Ember for the first time solo for two full nights. Was it, babe?
Three days, two full nights.
Nice. Made you appreciate Audrey.
It was seriously one of the most beautiful perspective changes. Like I think every dad should do this just for the perspective.
Of course, yeah.
It was. Have you ever done this, Aaron? Overnight,
I've spent
two nights.
A week.
Oh wow, dude! My kids. It is like legit.
We did a road trip a couple years ago. Where Jennifer was going to some, you know, very important conferences.
It was just Elliot.
So it was a while ago, actually.
So this is when your book came out?
And I before spent, my book came out. Like, so we were gone for a couple weeks, and almost every day, I was all day with Elliot.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
That seemed really hard. Now I look for, I'm like, oh, one kid? That's super easy.
Yeah.
Oh, you go do what you want. Me and Elliot, we're good.
Yeah.
So anyways, like we want to grow our family.
Right.
And we really realized this last year. Plus we left Bend, you know, the community we had with you guys and the fellowship and everything. And just being out of people in similar rhythms was a big eye-opener for us. And we're like, wow, we need some rhythms and some goals. Going into 2018.
And it's hard when you don't. I mean, we left Bend and we didn't get plugged in with the same type of friendships that we had here. A lot of our friends here do similar things that we do. You know, they work with their spouse. And so I think that makes a big difference to have friends that get your work. Mm-hmm. And because we don't have coworkers in the same sense that our friends back home that work at Nike do. It's just a different, you know, and so it's hard. It's been hard for us since leaving Bend to find people that we can really talk to about our work slash marriage problems that are combined because it's so intermingled.
They're all the same thing.
And so I don't know. I feel like that's an important thing for entrepreneurial couples to have other friends that they can. But did you guys have that in the beginning or like when you guys were still in California and not really?
We were the only people that we
did that.
Like this was. What, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
That we did this?
I think a big thing that helped us was being able to communicate to our friends, you know, where we were at and just trusting them with our hearts and letting that relationship still have an impact in our lives and hope that they understand.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Jen, you were going to say something?
I was just going to mention earlier when we were talking about structure, because, you know, part of this episode is about couples working together. Mm. And Aaron mentioned, you know, being able to leave the house and work in the garage. But something that's helped us this last year is I don't work nearly as often as I used to because I spend a lot of time with the kids during the week. But Aaron will watch them one day a week so that I can get a couple of hours of writing in and preparation for whatever work
that's
we have
good.
Doing. And during that time, I either, you know, close my bedroom door and lock it and just stay in there to do it.
We have a little office in our bedroom.
Yeah, a little office in there from my space.
Yeah.
Or I'll come out to the garage or I leave the house altogether. You know, I'll go down to a little, you know, Jackson's Corner restaurant and just work away for a couple hours and then come back. And I always feel refueled and re-energized too, jumping back into motherhood, being able to have that time.
And you also get way more work done in your like seven hours of work than
high
you do in like a whole week.
That's super productive, I think.
But I have to because that's the time that I have, you know, the rest of my time needs to go to the kids. So for anyone that's working in tandem like that with also parenting and even if you're homeschooling or something like that, that requires a lot of attention, finding a part of your day to set aside for mom to just go and do her thing.
Well, and I like what you said about, so you go to your room and you, so Jeremy, you were talking about like having a place to go.
Yeah.
I think as long as there's a clearly defined place that could be your bedroom.
Not if the kitchen island.
Not the kitchen island where I
would
work.
Yeah, interesting.
In the middle of the house where I'm visible. As long as it's known, like this door is going to be locked.
That's the work.
You don't go bother daddy or you don't go bother mommy.
Yeah.
Like it's, it could work exactly the same because I'm, I would imagine there's people listening thinking like, well, I don't have a place to go or I can't leave the house.
Totally.
Or,
I can't go. It can be anywhere.
You just have, it's got to be clearly defined and separate.
That's good.
Meaning your bedroom with the door shut or your, you have an office space or
a
in
closet.
Your house or a closet.
Yeah.
And your kids know. Do you guys tell your kids like, mom's working, dad's working?
Yes.
And they know that?
Even more specific than that, I mean, we got to trust our kids' hearts and their ability to understand the impact that we're having in this world and why we do the things that we're doing because we want to raise kids that also have a desire to do things like this, right? So we go even beyond, you know, what mommy and daddy are doing for work. We really describe, wouldn't you say that we describe to them what
sometimes
we do?
Sometimes we...
That's cool.
We're in a ministry, you know, type of business. And so we'll say, I'll tell my kids like, hey, do you realize that, you know, these people are doing family Bible time because we do it? And I'll show them a video of it. And I'll say, this is what you guys did.
Yeah, we explain family Bible time because people might not listen.
Yeah, family Bible
and
time
we do
is a
this
part
now
of our
because of you
routine.
Guys. No.
Yeah, we have a scheduled time every day and we read the Bible with the kids. And it's as simple as it is.
And you read the Bible.
The Bible.
So they see that it's the word of God.
I don't read off my phone.
And it's the same time every day.
Yeah, you don't read it off your phone.
It's essentially the same time every day. It's around 8 o'clock.
Like they know to expect it.
They know to expect it.
So it's always after breakfast.
What's that look like? How do you get them to listen? Tell us a little bit. Dive into this. Because this is, I posted this to my Instagram stories and I got a ton of really good feedback.
The most feedback we get on social media is from people liking the family Bible time.
Because it's so easy. It's such a simple
thing. But everyone asks, like, how do you start? And I'm like, in Genesis?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean? Open the Bible.
So you just start reading.
You know what, though? I can commiserate with those out there because I didn't know how to start. In the beginning of this year is when I started.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, man, I don't know what to do. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to start. And it literally started by reading a verse. I'd be like, hey, kids, we're all sitting down. And I read a verse, and I would congratulate the kids for sitting still for half a second. But they heard the word of God and I sat there and they saw me open the Bible and it was a thing. And now we're reading like a chapter or two or even three, depending on.
And they'll sit and listen.
I mean, it's not perfect.
Not perfectly every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. And life is messy.
We only Instagram the perfect parts.
Yeah.
I've been trying to add some other.
Let's see your behind the scenes, guys. Come on. Bring it out.
I'll hand her the phone and we actually don't film it every day because I don't want my kids thinking that it's just a social media event that we're doing. But I'll have Jennifer have the phone and she'll post when the kids are talking. And I'm like, guys, you got to sit down and listen. That's what we're here for. This is the most important part of the day. This is Dad's favorite part of the day. Mm. So I actually let them know that it is actually my favorite part of the day so that they hear that out of my mouth. They don't just assume
anything. They think it'll be there. Like,
And I'd say the key is consistency. So, you know, because it did start out kind of crazy and the kids didn't sit still for very long, but as they grow
much
up
better now,
and mature and they are looking forward to it, they know it's coming. There's security there. And, you know, if we could just stay on this routine, I don't know. I feel like consistency is important.
Well, and I posted
that's cool.
We were on a dinner date a couple of weeks ago and we were talking and I was just saying, if parents just sat down for 15 minutes a day, and read the Bible. And I calculated it until like by the time they're 18 years old, what was it like 1,000 hours of the Bible?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that's how much exposure our children would get.
And for you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes for me, that Jesus story Bible is my Bible time in the morning
with
Ember.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that is my time sometimes.
And so there's a family habit being built.
Totally.
And so it's not a lot because a lot of parents are like, well, how do you get them to sit still? The point's not just to get them to sit still and listen. The point is that you're doing it, that you're opening the Bible, that they literally see you open the physical paper, leather bound
Bible.
Not your phone because they don't know it's just a phone.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want my kids to fall in love with the phone.
Yeah.
I need to change how I love my phone.
Yeah.
I want them to fall in love with the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Which we give them.
My kids will never fall in love with the word of God if they don't think I love the word of God.
Yeah, that's so good.
If they don't see the Bible in your hands more than your phone, you know.
Right now I have a wrong balance of it. Yeah.
They get
a Bible too to sit in, you know, their lap and to
look
through.
And they can
look
through it and they can ask us questions. Some ways we get them to be engaged because I don't want them to just be like mechanical, sit and don't say anything.
Yeah.
Now I want them to be respectful. I want them to listen. Those are things that we practice.
Yeah.
Sitting still is another good How many of us can't sit still? Like Jeremy's tapping his leg right
now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My mom was like, I know, she's here. Yeah. She's like, Aaron, do you always tap your leg? And I'm like, I guess I do.
I guess I do.
Anyways, teaching them to sit still is a valuable skill. Just
totally.
In any, place in life. That's one thing that we learn, listening. So I give them challenges. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to be I want you to listen for the word propitiation.
And they raise their hand when they hear it.
And when they hear it. So now they're actually like having to listen.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they say, what's that? And then we have to go into this long conversation.
Yeah,
about
so that yesterday I literally spent 15, 20 minutes explaining what the word propitiation meant. Now I'm learning.
To your 5-year-old,
and you know what? They understand. Actually, that was actually a really fun conversation we had. We don't always do that. Sometimes we just read and there was like a simple question. Sometimes they're sitting there and they're listening and they're engaged and they're like, oh, this is interesting.
Sometimes in the beginning, you'll ask them random questions about, the previous day's chapter or whatever. And we have a pretty squirrely 3-year-old, but sometimes she'll just turn around and be like, the Israelites. And
she has the answer.
Wait, how did you know? Yeah, you were listening yesterday. But
sometimes it's like Jeremy, he needs to be tapping his leg to be listening.
To be listening, or walking, like I got to be pacing.
Yeah.
So totally. Just finding some fun ways to get them to be engaged. And I think we can be afraid of doing it because we're like, well, how are they going to learn it all? But to be honest, just hearing the word of God.
Totally.
Can change us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that. That's a really healthy side beat.
Really good.
Yeah, getting back to kind of working together or whatnot, if someone's like listening to this and they've been thinking about a project, they've got maybe the domain bought and the Instagram, taken, and they're kind of just looking for, one piece of advice on how to do it or how to start, what's been successful, and then one thing to avoid, what's one of those would be for you guys? Mm-hmm. Like, what's one thing you would say, like, definitely do this, whether it's a rhythm, a cycle. It can be like analytical or it can be just more broad stroke. And then what's one thing that like you guys would probably, like what would you tell us to avoid 3 years ago? And then what's one thing you would tell us like, hey, definitely
you have to do this.
Definitely make
work
sure
together.
You do this.
Yeah.
And we can take a minute to think about this.
Well, yeah.
Just trying to
I was actually going to bring this up earlier. We were talking about how we got into this and like how we set boundaries and how do we know, organize our days around work.
Yeah.
And our seasons. And we use the word seasons. The first thing I think about is clearly defining what you are doing. Like, and why you're doing it. A lot of people say like, what's your why? But mine's more like, why are you starting a business? Is it just because you're tired of working for other people? Which is not a good enough why.
Yeah.
Right. If you can figure out why it is you're doing what you're doing,
like what's the goal?
Yeah. Like what? Like and clearly, like well, it's to like we want to create a legacy for our children. We want to build something we can pass down. If you can figure those kinds of things out, you'll work even when it's not making money.
Ooh, yeah. That's
usually
good.
When we didn't start our thing because we wanted to have a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started our thing because we could not start it.
Yep. Yeah. You're burning for it.
Because of our why.
Right.
Because of what we wanted. We're like, we want to share what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if other marriages hear this and feel this and experience this, they will experience what we experienced. That was that was what drove us. And we didn't start it with a mentality of like, oh, now we're going to, work full time at this. Now there was, of course we're like, oh, what if we could do this full time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were there, but that was not why we were doing it.
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time, if you can do the thing you want to do for free, then you should do it.
Then you should do it.
If you have to be paid for it, you shouldn't do it.
So good.
Yeah.
Amen
and it's been proven time and time really again, good. Because the people that want to do something and they have to be paid for it, they don't last.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
That's super.
We did stuff for years. And if everything we do now stopped making a penny tomorrow, we'd find ways of doing it while working full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And I would just say that, some people have everything ready, set to launch, and they just can't get over that hump of fear where they're just like cringing because they don't know what's going to happen.
Say?
They don't know how people are going to respond. And I just want to say, just go try. Just go do it.
Yeah.
Jump off that place of fear and just go for it because you don't know until you start.
Yeah.
And especially if everything's ready to go, like, go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We started all of our things when they were not ready.
I think
it doesn't have to look perfect in order for it to be ready.
Actually,
to,
Steve Jobs says in his book, he says, if you're not embarrassed when you launch, you took too long.
You took too long.
That's the story of our life.
You waited too long. Yeah. We were clearly embarrassed. You should have saw our website before we launched.
Especially in this day and age with social media and the internet and everything that's available. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not starting it, someone else is going to start it. You might as well just
sense of urgency.
Go do it. Yeah, there is, though.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Every day, something's changing, something new's coming out. Like, just. Right.
Well, like, stop wasting, done is better than perfect.
Stop wasting time and just go
And on that, just because someone has already started something like your thing, you should not do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because who knows if they will complete
it. That's the second side of that coin, That's probably the best thing you could have said, I think, Aaron. Like, seriously, because I feel like for us, that was our biggest... Still, that's something we're wrestling with. And that's actually why 2018 has been kind of a difficult year, is because we accomplished a lot of our goals. And then now we're looking at it all like, okay, whoa, like we feel a little aimless in a couple things we're doing, but also what's the bigger why as to why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So like what you're doing needs a why, but also what's like the family plan, the family goal.
Like, what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
And so we, like I said, 2018 was like a big year for us. Like we actually accomplished two or three big goals on the list. But now we're left a little bit adrift at sea, and it's my responsibility, I think, to, you know, help craft that mission, that adventure that we're on through life. And that's actually why.
Well, and if you figure out that major reason for the thing you're building, oftentimes, actually every single time, there's an infinite number of ways you can accomplish that purpose.
Yeah.
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 And so often, like, because if you have these goals,
there's more
than
one blessed path.
You know, I just want to be in marriage ministry. Mm. Like, if that's like your only, like, well, okay, so how do you do that? Well, there's an infinite number of ways of doing that. But is that the only reason? Like, why do you want to be in it?
Yeah, totally.
But if you have these bigger pictures of like building a legacy for my family, having something to pass down, man, that could be literally anything. Yeah. It could be just, you know, a 401k.
It could be real estate.
It could be real estate. It could be, you know, flipping cars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways of accomplishing that. And that's why, you know, I tell people, like, I always ask, like, could you do this for free?
That's good. Yeah.
Would you do this thing you're doing for free?
Yeah.
That's where passion comes up and just, you know, gives you the motivation to.
And because you have to, in the beginning, you have to do it for free.
You're fucking it all.
You know what I mean? To, like, you are, here's my savings account and here's my product that I don't know if it's viable or not, you know, like you are doing it for free for so long. So many people that start blogs before they launch products from them.
Yeah.
It's years of free blogging to launch a, you guys know, you guys did this, you know, but
speaking about really the years thing, the last tip I would give for people wanting to step into, I mean, there's a lot of tips I guess I can give, building something. I have lots of experience with people that have built things and lost things and have been successful and have failed, which failure is not always bad. Failure is a good thing. It's a part of life.
Yeah.
The people that have been the most successful are the ones that don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meaning they start something and they continue in it and they get better at it. And they get better at it and they get better at it and they learn and they grow and they fail and then they try it again and they go and they keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the 10,000 hour rule, like until you've,
totally.
You know, no one's an overnight success.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, so just going back to the journey thing, Gary Vee has this whole thing about like the entrepreneurs on a journey. And if you don't love the failures as much as you love the successes, you're in the wrong game. And I just think that's such a healthy way to look at the entrepreneurial journey, you know, the lifestyle of an entrepreneur for sure. But
yeah, when I think about, you know, the journey, I think about us working together. And for anyone listening right now who's in business with their spouse, I think so much of embracing the journey is, you know, taking those moments of frustration and hardship and just being okay with them because they come, and also being okay with, you know, the workload that's involved, the scheduling, figuring it out, changing in and out of seasons, like all of it is important to your marriage relationship. And just remembering that it's not all about business, like all the little things matter and they add up and they actually help grow your marriage. And wouldn't you say that that has been a awesome part of being in business together?
Well, and remembering that the journey we're on, the reason I was just talking earlier about the big why, the big reason, I want to just be able to continue working with you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to go get a full-time job for someone else to build someone else's business. I will do that if I have to.
Right.
But yeah. I love that we have our thing. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's not about the numbers. It's not about how many books. It's not about how big our social media is. It's not about mm-hmm. how many blogs got out. Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Because we get to do it. And yeah. that's what my driver is. Yeah, yeah, will you do it for free?
I love that, Aaron.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Now, if I had to do it for free, I would have to get a job.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And
that's what
okay
we did in the
it.
Beginning.
But my, yeah, right. but my big why, yeah. like yeah. I said, is to give something to my kids mm-hmm. and to be able to do that something with my wife. That's yeah. my that's my why. So it could be anything. Yeah. If our marriage ministry is just if Facebook just kicked us off, which yeah. they totally could.
So, yeah. but Aaron, like,
that's it true. Would be something yeah. else.
We're yeah. in this interesting spot where, like, we in 2019 need to quantify our I want to say like our successes, but like like what we do, because we feel this like endless battle to do more, say yes to more, chase it, do it, not enough, and it's just this like angst I feel. Am I wrong in saying that, babe? It's just this kind of like...
Well, all the opportunity.
All the opportunity.
It's just, I think opportunity...
It's the wild, wild west out here.
Yeah.
And if we don't bridle it somehow, it's... In 2018, it was a tough game. It was fun. A lot of craziness
well,
happened.
But and
it was
when tough you work for yourself, there's just... There always feels like there is more opportunity because you can just... You can just keep working more. Mm-hmm. You just can. And mm-hmm. and you're working more kind of equates to... a better business or a better ministry or a more purposeful thing, whatever it is that you're doing, yeah, you know
it can
what I mean?
Be better, and, you know?
Pun intended, but just always more. Like, yeah. It's just like it. And for me, it's such a hard thing because I struggle so much with that of just turning off and being okay with what I have done and feeling like what I have done is I don't, yeah, exactly. Feeling like I can just hang out with Ember and not continue to just keep doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Once one's done, yeah. move on to the next one, you know?
I feel like there's two things that kind of help me with feeling that way. And the first one is that little goals are really impactful. Mm-hmm. That way you don't have this like incredibly long list of goals and things to do, but you take it more like in sprints where, mm-hmm. you know, you know what you're going to achieve this week and you hit those three things and you feel on fire and you feel good about yourself and not instead of the other way where you have, you know, 5 to 10 goals and then you're drowning because you can't
totally
complete them. And then the other one is being really intentional with your yeses and nos. Yeah, and that part sucks. That part is so hard because there will be some great opportunities, but it doesn't align with your why. It doesn't align with the purpose that you have.
Yeah, it might actually go against
it. It might go against it, or it might be flying right by it, but you've already said yes to this, and this, and where's your commitment going to be? Uh-huh. Are you going to continue to say yes to the things you've already committed to? And unfortunately have to sacrifice those other things because nobody can do it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've actually had to do this that a couple of years ago, we wanted to start a subscription, you know, a part of our site.
Yeah.
And we launched it. We did the whole thing. We had a landing page. You were going to do a video devotional every week mm-hmm. with a forum for mm-hmm. all of the people that were subscribed to this subscription. And we launched and man, I think we had 300 or 500 women in this subscription paying us monthly. So on the outside, it was successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we shut it down.
We could not maintain it in a way that was healthy
for
our family, though.
We didn't like the way we had to maintain
it. Right, yeah.
So it went back to like, well, do we want to do this? Mm-hmm. So it was an idea.
We need to hear that. That is so
it was a great idea. Good. Someone gave it to us and we're like, we could do this. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity. We produced it pretty well.
It required a lot of me. Like my face, my words, my energy. Mm-hmm. And it was right at a time when I had just had Olive, our second child. And so we were in the throes of like total toddler child, mm-hmm. you know, raising. And I couldn't maintain. Well, I still am. Yeah. I think I will be
for the next 20 years. Yeah. So.
But it was just not manageable for what we wanted, for what we desired.
We could have managed it and we would have hated it.
Yeah.
And so what we've gotten really good at doing is
saying no.
Canning things.
Yeah.
Not just saying no. Like, we're actually willing to try things. Like,
stop it.
So this goes into one of our questions for you guys was like, do you guys have different working styles? Mm. And so like for us, that'd be difficult because I feel like I would be more inclined to like, you know what? That is that's just over my stress limit. Let's bag it.
Yeah.
Like that's
just,
it.
It's disturbing my peace. So you know what? I can walk away.
Audrey would say no.
I'm like, no, I can't
not
fail.
Finishing it or seeing it through is disturbing my peace. Mm. So then she'd want to see it to the end. And then we have this banter.
Yeah.
And sometimes they turn into some pretty serious discussions. Mm-hmm. And where Audrey feels like we're failing, and I feel like
they're pretty serious discussions. Though. Yeah,
what do we call those?
It's just a heightened conversation. Way
I think some
it.
People call them fights. I don't know, but
peacemaker over here.
But you get how we talk about it's good, but you get where I'm going with that. Like,
yeah, I think it,
for us, we're on two opposite sides of the spectrum when it comes to doing something.
It
like
depends
that.
On how you define failure.
Yeah, totally.
If failure is not finishing something, man, there's going to be
Aaron,
there's a lot of times I want to not finish things and not feel like a failure. The way I look at it is we tried something, we were actually successful at it, which tells me that we could do it in the future if we wanted to.
Yeah, but not now.
And we realized that we didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't like the way it was producing, even though people were, you know, paying for it and it was on paper successful. You forgot about this, but one of the things that made us want to turn off is we can see all the statistics on people watching the videos, how long they were watching, how often they were active in the forums, and we weren't actually getting people involved in it. And so even though it financially was successful, it wasn't actually
engaging.
Yeah,
like we wanted it to be.
So we looked looked at it pragmatically and said, like, well, it's really stressful. It's not fitting in the way we want to live our life, and it's actually not producing the thing that fits in with our why, which is encouraging and growing and lifting people up. And
yeah.
So at the end of the day, it was like, it wasn't an easy decision. Cause again, in the flesh, it didn't feel like we were failing. We're like, oh, now we have to tell people. Mm-hmm. We had this thing. We went for how many weeks? We went for a few months actually.
Yeah. Where I'm probably like Audrey in this, where I just wanted to keep going because I said I was going to do it. Yeah. And it just seemed terrible. To not follow through with it. But at the end of the day, like we have to be able to evaluate what we've got going on and continue on or stop, like you said.
So, and here's an encouragement. We had to email a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That were paying us money.
Yeah.
And they were subscribed and had said through their money, their wallets and their time that they want to be a part of this. And we're like, hey, you know, we launched this. This is what we wanted to do. This is our intentions. And you know what? We're shutting it down.
Yeah.
And we said, here's what we can do. We can refund you for your last month or for a year, if whatever they subscribe to, which was going to hurt us financially. Mm-hmm. But if you want to just leave what you've paid, it'll support the future ministry, but it's up to you. Just all you have to do is email us and we'll refund you if you want it.
Yeah.
I think we had 3 people ask for a refund.
But we had a lot of people emailing us back with support, understanding our situation.
Good for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you take a stand like that for the health of not just your family, but your why.
People have to respect that.
It's respected because not very many people do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a strength in being able to say no. And I want to say accept a failure, but again, it depends on how you define failure.
I didn't think it was a failure to me.
You don't think it was a failure. Right. Exactly. So that's why I was weary to say that. But I think that's super good. And something like I'm getting from all this is like you guys were able to do that because you were already already the ball was rolling. You've been doing this for a few years. It was this thing that you could do and could stop.
Yeah.
Some people just starting, you know, the concept still applies where like your why will guide your yeses and no's.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the most important thing. So again, going back to the root of this question 10 minutes ago now, which is like, what's the one thing you would say, advice you'd give people? And really it's your compass, which is your why. Mm-hmm. That's so
good. And we actually launched that in a really hard financial season. Mm-hmm. We didn't only launch it. We wanted to add value. We're like, how can we keep doing what we're doing? Yeah. How can we pay the bills, but add value? Mm-hmm. And it was in a season that we actually needed it.
Oh, interesting.
And so we still said no to it, even though we needed it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't doing what we wanted it to do.
Yeah.
What our hope for it was that people would actually women would be encouraged and strengthened, and it wasn't being consumed the way we thought it would be. And so we were like, okay, let's start over. Let's figure out something else.
Audge and I are in that spot right now where there's a lot of like opportunities out there and things. Like, again, we say this all the time. I like to call it millennial entrepreneurship is the wild, wild west of the internet. Like it is just, you can do pretty much anything. You can say yes to a lot. You can
make money playing video games.
Yeah, totally. I was actually just talking to, anyways, it's a tangent, but yeah, there's this guy, But you can literally make money doing anything if you find the right resources to figure out how, right? And so it all comes back to your why. And I think Audrey and I are in that space right now of like, we've said yes to maybe a thing or two too many. And it unstabilized us a little bit at the end of this last year. And that's why we're going into this new year very intentional with like, okay, let's re-center around our why and just kind of recalibrate the compass a little bit.
So and I don't know this, if this you is really guys encouraging have for like a mission statement or something for your work or family or life or whatever, but Jerry and I are like kind of in the process right now of just building our, like the word pillars is kind of what we've been using, but just our pillars of, you know, here's like a one paragraph synopsis of like what we want our family to be about. Here's a one paragraph synopsis of what we want our work to be about. Here's a one paragraph or what do we want our financial goals to be like, of what we want our health and fitness and personal goals, you know, just to kind of have a guiding point. So when the opportunities come up or when the next project is on the docket, you can go, okay, well, does this align with the butcher paper of the pillars or not? Because if not, then it's just we have so many things that are easy no's, but we try to make them maybes.
Yeah, totally.
Because we're like, well, we just feel like we have to say yes.
This isn't for everyone. It's just something we've found in the last 2 years that we need to
do. We need it.
Because we're not very good at keeping this like ethereal in the sky, said once, change twice thing. You know what I mean? Like we need it written down to where we can pull it up in the Google Doc and go,
Jared needs the visual, like, let me pull that up and look at it and read it.
I think the most important thing, what you guys are saying right now and what we've experienced over, you know, all the years that we've been working together, is when you're in business with your spouse, communication is so vital. Like you have to be able to remind each other of where you've been and where you're going. You need to remind each other of what your why is. You need to remind each other of how to communicate with each other, because sometimes things can get out of hand and you got to, you know, bring each other back to that place of unity and oneness. And I just feel like, you know, we were even talking about working styles, you know, different ways that we work. We have to be able to communicate those needs or those ways with our spouse. And then we need to understand each other and, you know, help cultivate an environment where you can really thrive in your business, but also in your marriage working together.
Yes. Amen to that.
That was good.
It was really good.
Totally.
Do you guys... So. Just one of the other questions that I had for you guys is, if you guys have times where you set aside to not talk about work specifically, like we're going to go on a date night tonight, we're not going to bring up any work things.
There's been like three times ever.
3 hours a month we don't talk about work.
Yeah. Not the answer that I wanted.
Sorry.
And this is so cool because you're okay with that. And
we're in that same...
We love what we do, and I just feel like we've both been really passionate about it for so long now that it's just been, a part of, it's who we are. So it's really integrated into everything that of what we do and who we are, that it just comes out of us. Like it's hard not to talk about it.
It's hard to avoid it.
It's hard to really
think about, you know, 1,000 years ago or even longer, like what you did was who you were. You know, you were a farmer, you were a brickmaker, you were a blacksmith.
Right.
You know, our surnames came from our profession.
Yes. So, okay. Such a good point.
Smith. Yeah, we're Smiths. But just the idea of surnames. Before surnames, there wasn't, you were just where you were from or what you did. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like in our generation, because of the way we've constructed, you know, businesses, and you have the 9-to-5 and you go to work and you don't care about that company when you're off hours and you go home and you want to separate it. I don't know if that's, it's never been that way before.
It's interesting.
Forever, we've been what we do.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's...
Well, at least industrial revolution.
Exactly. You know, not to say that we just identify as like, oh, we are, you know, who I am as a marriage blogger and we write marriage books. No, I'm a Christian.
Right.
First.
You have your identity in Christ first.
Yeah. And I'm in the body of Christ. And, you know, even when you look at the Bible, the members of the body, the people, the Christians, are described as body parts.
Yeah.
And so like a finger is a finger. Mm-hmm. An eye is an eye.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the eye can't be something else. The eye can't tell the hand it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
Right? So we're identified as what God has placed us in the body to do. And so if we recognize the things, the giftings, the talents, the unique elements that God's created with us naturally and in us, especially through the Holy Spirit that's in us, we walk in those things, it's okay to be that.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we talk often about our, I'm doing air quotes, work.
Right.
But our work is what we do. Yeah. And our work is who we are, and it's what we live, and it's how we live. And we're okay with talking about it.
Yeah.
Often, all the time, with our kids.
No, I think that's really actually, I'm kind of enlightened a little bit, just because I feel like Jared and I try to fight against that sometimes. Like, we feel like we need to have times where we don't talk about work, but maybe we don't. You know, like,
well,
maybe, because we do love talking about it, and it's our go-to, and we love that we can work together.
I think there needs to be a little bit of balance in that. If you feel like just this sense of like, we've talked about it too much, or I'm overwhelmed by work, I don't want to go there with you right now, or maybe there's this pending situation with the kids or with another friendship that needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of saying, hey, we're on this date night tonight. Let's use it for this.
Yeah,
kind of guiding the conversation in that
way.
Goes
back to the communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times that and this has actually happened. We sit at date night and I just start talking because like it just comes out of me.
Yeah.
Hey, I got this comment today, or we got this order, or this book thing.
Yeah.
Totally. And you'll be like, hey, can we just, I actually wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Something else. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's okay.
We have this whole like, before we like go to date night or go to a party or whatever, we have this whole like, what are your expectations for this thing that we ask each other about before we get out of the car?
Communication. Yeah. That's awesome.
Communication. So it's just this helpful. What are your expectations so that we can go into the party, into the date night, into the restaurant, whatever it is, having talked
and
about
one other thing,
what our expectations are.
Oh, sorry, babe. Are you done with your thought?
Yeah, but I've got another thought.
Okay. But I just, this is just a small thing, but just one other thing that we learned that the past year that we've been doing that I think has been really helpful since having Ember is, sometimes I'll be playing with Ember or making breakfast or doing something that's not work. And Jer will ask me a work question. And I kind of am like, I just don't want to go there right now. I don't have the brain calories to like really answer that question. And so then I just instantly get this feeling of angst where I want to answer it, but I can't. And so we started doing this thing where we both do this with each other. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
And so we do this thing where, if it's the middle of the day and we're not like set aside time, this is our work time, can I ask you a work-related question?
Yeah.
Like literally awesome. Jeremy says to me like,
it's really
hey babe,
functional.
Can I ask you a work-related question? It sounds so funny, but it's actually
been
so,
awesome.
Sometimes I'm like, can it table, you know? Like, can we just, and or vice versa.
And I'm okay because
you know? Like,
she's not ignoring me. She just said no, not right
or
now.
Or at least I can prep myself instead of Jeremy just going like, hey, we got this fire. We got to put out blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't prepared.
I know exactly how you feel. And sometimes I'll tell Aaron like, can you just email me? Because then I know it's there. And it's
when you go to work.
And then he doesn't forget what his question was or what his thing was. And so that works too.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Honestly, though,
So we don't have very many boundaries other than we're allowed to tell each other no.
Yeah.
It goes back to the communication thing. It goes back to our why of like, there'll be times where Jennifer's like Instagramming, like, hey, can you just enjoy the moment with the kids? And she'll be like, oh yeah.
Thanks.
And put it away. Yeah. Or I'll be trying to do something and she'll look at me and say, put the phone away.
Yeah.
And we just have given each other permission to make the boundary in the moment because life is life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we work at home. And we can make our own schedule. And I actually, again, it goes back to the big reason why we do things. I love that we can make our own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents have been in town and I had to do a little bit of work. And I could have chose to come into the garage and be away from the family. And instead what I did is I chose to be distracted. And I sat at the island in the middle of the house with the chaos going around so that I could be available.
Sorry, I didn't know you were working that whole time.
Oh,
I wouldn't have asked for your help.
I didn't tell anyone I was working, but I was trying to do what I could. And but here's the thing. I got to choose to do that.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's a really awesome perk.
Yeah.
And benefit for what we do.
It's hard, but it's
like
good.
This is so good because going back to what you guys said about just, I feel like this is starting to circle around the why, right? Because that it really is kind of a big root of a lot of what you do and how you should do it. But like, Arj and I have been really wanting to like create boundaries and create this and that because there's been some unrest, just to get vulnerable for a moment. There's been a little unrest and some chaos and some too many yeses and it's all good things, but it's been so much we're like overwhelmed, like let's just create boundaries for it all and like structure this and get a nanny 3 days a week and bring on help. And like, we've been trying to fix all of
like
these problems with good things, but really it's going to be a digging back, going back to the root and establishing the why, because depending on what the why is, depends on what you say yes and no to, depends on how you do that. Mm. And so I feel like for us, even leaving this pod, I'm processing out loud right now.
Yeah.
Like, this will be a great conversation for the car ride home from Bend, 3.5 hours for those listening. We've had this on the list. Our last podcast, yeah, we talked about this 2 weeks totally. Ago.
About, we've been talking about
the goals and why and all that. But to the boundary question that we just asked the Smiths, I feel like a lot of our boundaries we talk about in the context of unrest. Mm. When if we fixed the unrest, we would probably think we need less boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of two things. You guys need to get better at being okay with letting opportunities go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Because
maybe not just opportunities, but also some work-related things that maybe you can't get to.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like, yeah, it might require less at times.
And some good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some straight up
because
good things.
In reality, if the good thing controls you, then it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So,
or if you feel like you must say yes to it, who are you a slave to?
Well, there's mm-hmm. so yeah, much power. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Yeah.
Okay, that the self-control aspect of saying, I'm going to choose what I do right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to do that thing that wants my attention, that thing that says that I'm needed, that says that I'm valuable, that thing that says I'm going to be successful, actually isn't going to make me successful because I'm already successful.
Yeah.
I'm already who I'm going to be. And I'm going to choose right now to control the whole situation. And so there's so much power in it's not just saying no. Because we tried things that we could have said no to because it seemed daunting or like, we could guess that it's going to be hard. But what if we fell in love with the thing that we tried? Mm. We're like, wow, this is like we podcast now every week. It's essentially the exact same thing we did when people were paying us weekly to do it. And now we're doing it for free.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Yeah.
And it's not daunting.
But it's more life-giving.
And it's more life-giving. So it doesn't mean
interesting.
The no is a no. It just means that you are okay with missing out on things for making the right yeses currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the second thing I was thinking is, so not just saying no to things and turning things off and being okay with less. So the second thing is recognizing that our reason for doing the things that we're choosing to do should always come first. You were just talking about the priorities. Like, you want to be successful as a husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what does that look like? Could you be a successful husband if you didn't have any of the platforms that you have?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Because if you couldn't, then our country is doomed.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not often that we get this access to these resources and platforms. Could you be a successful wife without it? Yeah, of course.
Totally.
So a successful mother, successful father, mm-hmm. successful friend, those things are much more valuable, infinitely more valuable than what a million people might think on Facebook mm-hmm. of us.
Yeah.
And so recognizing that those things should always come first. And if anything we're doing gets in the way of that, those things aren't worth doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which goes back to, again, this is all circling back to like saying yes to too many things or feeling like you have to and just not having the why clearly identified.
Okay, we beat the dead horse.
We beat it. But
beat the dead horse.
We've circled back to that so many times. It's just like, it really is the core of a lot of this.
And at the end of the day, do we want to, we get trapped into this. Do we want to create a family home, you know, business that's just like a normal 9-to-5 job that we that we left to do this?
Yeah, for sure.
No. Like, some of the chaos is so good for us.
Yeah.
Because we chose the chaos. We chose, and when I say chaos, I'm just saying all the craziness of all the choices and all the we have to make all the decisions ourselves.
Yep, having to figure it out, yeah.
That's the benefit of what we do is it's our choice.
Yeah.
We choose how we're going to succeed or fail.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a heightened growth curve almost in doing that or choosing that. And to Gary Vee's point, living through the failures as happily as the successes, you know? Yeah, that's good.
We also get to choose to take that pressure off of ourselves when need be.
When need be, yeah.
And just go, like, we were talking about in the little break we had was the other day thinking like, man, I got to work. And then I was like, wait.
No.
We're good. I'm going to go jump at the trampoline park with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and being okay with that.
Yeah.
Totally. That's good. And I'm curious if you guys, like, with your kids being at home, you're working from home, your kids are getting a little bit older, obviously, you know, you guys have kids that are older than our one child, but are there things that you guys want to model for your kids when it comes to work? Like, is there in your guys' relationship, you know, what does a working mom look like? How would you want to model that for your kids or in your marriage, you know, and in your home? Are you guys going to continue working from home? Like, how does that?
I think some of the things that come to mind are just work ethic. Like, are you going to be a hard worker in whatever you do? And I think, I feel like I tell the kids all the time, we're the Smiths and we do hard things, because anyone who's been around 5-year-olds or under, you know, you tell them to do one thing, wipe the table down, it's hard, you know, we do hard things. So work ethic is a big thing.
My mom used to tell me that.
Yeah. I want them to know why they're doing it, you know, that as Christians, like, we have a greater purpose in this world than just to live for ourselves. And I hope that they see that in us. I hope that that's why, or they see why, you know, we do the things that we do. And I hope that that fuels them for whatever purpose God has for them, you know, as adults.
Yeah.
I think that that's just a handful. I hope that they, you know, prioritize their family above work and their marriages, you know, up there on the pillar or
scale of everything
ever.
So we don't necessarily give them specifics. Like, they don't know how much we make. At this current, you know, age, wouldn't even understand.
Yeah, totally.
But they understand that you're working and you're modeling.
So, but we explain, like, I tell them, like, you know, Elliot, we do this so that we can buy food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do this so we can pay rent. We do this so that, that these things that you enjoy doing.
Just giving him a basic understanding of what work is.
Like, we have to, because he sees me and he's like, you want to go play Legos? I'm like, I would love to play Legos with you right now, but I have to go finish a landing page for our website.
But we've also talked to him about what it means to be an entrepreneur. Like, we've had those conversations with our 5 and 6-year-old.
That's cool.
5 turning 6. Yeah.
There's an interesting
that's cool
correlation that's cool. you're building with them so early. Like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to,
because a lot of people would think, like, oh, they're even parents would be like, oh, they like, why would I even have the conversation with them?
Yeah, just undermining them.
Undermining them. Yeah, yeah.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
I feel like we've always kind of talked to our kids like adults.
It's good.
I love that. We don't actually know how to talk like babies. Yeah. Like, when babies like,
Jared and I are like that too.
We're like, so true. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, we do talk to him like that.
Yeah.
There's a few things, like, again, with our work specifically, it's also ministry. We said earlier, we show our kids some of the fruit of it. Mm-hmm. And we explain, like, hey, because we posted about this today, look what other people are. Look at this dad's reading the Bible to their kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, really? And they want to watch the whole story. And we show this other, we don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
And we show them and we're like, this is because you guys sat down and listened to daddy.
Yeah.
Like, this.
You're helping. You're a part of my
life. Yeah, you're a part of what we're doing.
Yeah. Amazing.
You're encouraging people. We actually do that when we go to dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, and we leave and we're like, you know that, like, a couple will come up, an old guy usually, or an old woman, be like, your kids are just so well behaved.
Yeah.
You know, because we work really hard at home to train them to have obedience and, you know, self-control and all those things.
Yeah.
And we'll encourage them and say, you guys, were a witness tonight. Mm-hmm. People saw how you were. And we're encouraged because of how you were.
Yeah.
And we give it was all in them. They chose to be that way, even though we cool. trained them, but they chose to be that way.
To be like a really 6-year-old boy and being taught the cause and effect of your actions like that, or what you choose to do or choose not to do. I mean, I just think for myself, being trained and taught like that would have been really fantastic. Not to say that I totally wasn't, but, like, you could, I mean, I'm really encouraged by this, because that's, I don't think I knew that you guys were that kind of, I don't know, intentional.
Well, another thing we've been doing, we talked about boundaries earlier with work, but we do try and have some specific boundaries with the kids. We try and leave the phones away.
Like playtime, or what do you mean? Like,
well, like, when we're working, because we can be on our phones. The phones is a big thing.
Phones are
like
huge.
If you go to the park with your kids, you could do a social media poster, but no, just.
And we have this thing, like, we'll look at each other and we'll say, put the phone away. Mm-hmm. Just like straight.
Yeah.
Or we'll say, so, like, during Bible time, I'll tell the kids when we pull the phone out, hey, we're going to do some Instagram stories of today so we can encourage other marriages.
That's a funny thing, though.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather them be told.
Yeah, than to just
be like, oh, is dad just doing, or
on
is mom just doing?
On his phone again.
So we'll say, hey, we're going to do some, mom's going to do some videos so we can encourage other marriages, other daddies. Yeah. So we'll tell them exactly what we're doing.
That's awesome. I love it.
And then we'll put it away. Or I'll be like, hey, when it comes to work, if they're around me, I'll say, hey, Elliot, or hey, Olive, I need to go on my phone for a minute and do some work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a distinct, not just me on my phone.
Right. It's so interesting too, because, like, never before have you had to be that communicative
as to what you're doing.
This is why, like, I find it really frustrating when people go to church and they read the Bible on their phones, mm-hmm. or specifically the pastors on an iPad. Because I get it, you're at church or not, and some people do this, whatever, but I think, and maybe church is a bad example, but like when you're at home doing it, or when you're at the store, or not the store, sorry, the coffee shop doing it, there's something to be said about
walking around the grocery store.
Yeah, right. There's something to be said about having the Bible open and mm-hmm. how that is going to encourage. Like I saw someone reading the Bible at the coffee shop just the other day, and I went up and I said, dude, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to see you like reading the Bible out mm-hmm. in public. Like this was a testimony to me today. Thanks. He was like, awesome, man. Like, well, we had a good interaction, but I knew what he was doing. It wasn't on Instagram or right. the Bible. I don't know which one yeah. it is. Same with your kids. They don't know if you're working, posting, reading the word. Mm-hmm. You're just on your phone. And so the phones become this like dumpster device that we kind of associate whatever mm-hmm. the other person thinks you're doing into it. You get what I'm saying mm-hmm. with that?
Yeah.
But it's like the first time in yeah. human history you've had to actually explain what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and all even the if time. You're not explaining yeah. it, all they see is their face in a phone.
Yeah, your face in a phone. And the phone has your attention. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's better than having our face in a TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a face in a computer or a face, like, not yeah. at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd rather them
this
see
is
my
so
face
hard
in a book.
For us, too, because, like, we, like, even now, it's like, you, at what age do they realize you're doing it? And I know now, like, Ember's totally noticing and realizing we're doing it, you know? Like, we're on our phones. And so we're trying to, like, just be conscious. Like, when she's eating at the high chair, right? Like, man, it's so easy to crush a poster too.
Yeah.
But she's just, I mean, what? So she's eating and you're on your phone? Like it's such a hard
Yeah,
dance.
And you think you could have like had a little conversation with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you just know, simply ate with them.
Looked at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eating is such a sacred thing. Like,
yeah. And eating, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to kids, you do need boundaries when this it comes to working.
Yeah. This is a big mm-hmm. conviction for us. I'm not saying, you know. I say all this like, Jeff, get it together.
2019.
Yeah, 2019. Here we come. So.
Well, I think, unless you have something else, babe, but one thing that I just would like to ask you guys is just what's like your big dream for your businesses and, you know, your marriage and your businesses working together. What's the dream for you guys? What's the goal you're working towards?
So we make goals, but again, they fit into seasons and they're never like, they almost never feel complete actually. I would say our number one thing is to keep being able to do it. Mm-hmm. I said it earlier. It's mm-hmm. legitimately what it is, even if it meant everything looked totally different.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Our goal is that we get to make the choices and we get to do it together. And praise God, it's working.
It's
that
working
we
so
that we
yeah.
get to encourage marriages and that we get to mm-hmm. point it's people an, to the Bible
it's
and to
an
God.
Interesting perspective.
I love that. Just working together and yeah, whatever like that, whatever the work looks like doesn't matter as much as
like that's super interesting.
Yeah, and just to go, to prove it is before we did what it's we're awesome. Doing, we while we worked full-time jobs, we also worked as full-time professional photographers
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
We'd go
yeah.
shoot weddings and family shoots and
yeah.
We went and we were missionaries for a couple of years
together. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's never been not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys,
and
that's so cool.
To just be able to keep doing it now, we get to do it pretty much together full time.
Love it.
Yeah, that's I was going to say that our days now don't look always together physically because you're usually working and I'm with the kids, but we're still together in the sense that we communicate about
everything.
What's going on
yeah.
in the business and what's
we write the
happening.
Books together,
we set the goals together. Mm-hmm. Like we just, it's still together, even though it looks a little different now.
Yeah. I don't think either of us feel like it's our thing.
No.
Like it's not Aaron's ministry. It's not right. Jennifer's ministry. It's right. our ministry. And I don't think anyone sees them as separate.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a good conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super enjoyable.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Guys, thanks. Thanks for, well, I guess we're in your space.
Right? Yeah, we are in your
thanks
space.
Thanks for having us. But yeah. Thanks for being yeah. on as well. So at the end of every podcast, we ask three questions. What does your morning routine look like? What is the best life hack you have ever discovered? And what is your roses and thorns or highs and lows from the week? So we'll start with what is your morning routine?
Aaron, why don't you start since you start the morning?
I do start the morning. I get up around 5 and I go to the gym. I do CrossFit. That's a
Boom.
Fairly new thing. 2 years now.
2 years? That's not new.
I know.
I know. I feel like you've been doing it forever.
Yeah. I get home. Part of the routine I'm trying to break is I sit on my phone for like 20 minutes in my car because I know everyone's asleep still, but I'm trying to break that one. I'm trying to read the Bible instead.
Yeah.
get in the house, and then we do breakfast, Bible time, and then Jennifer and I do a quick usual what the
kind
day
of recap
look like.
What needs to happen today,
and then I will go to work most days, other than the day that Jennifer works. And that's our morning routine.
That's general the idea. Yeah. Some people have rigid schedules where it's like time transitions. We're more of like rhythms and like around this time, everyone can expect
around
this.
Which is the benefit of
you have
what
to have
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Everyone seems to be good with it so far.
Yeah, and Aaron, I like that. I think it was the Benham Brothers that said something like the first way to lead is to be the first one up. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Well, the best way to leave your family is
the best
the
way to
leave
your family is to be the first one up. Or something. It was something.
Do you wake
lines,
up early too, Jen?
So talking about yeah, I was hoping you didn't ask me that. Going in and out of seasons, there are definitely times where I do. My goal is to get up before the kids. You know, maybe like 6 a.m. Get into the Word. It doesn't happen every day, and there's definitely seasons where it doesn't happen at all. So right now, I'm trying to jumpstart that again. You know, coming out of postpartum is always a hard one. And now I have four kids and I'm homeschooling Elliot. So it's like, but if I can get up before the kids.
You know what though? I would say like, I would enjoy you getting up earlier for her sake.
Yeah.
To
totally,
be happy for the kids.
Honestly
but,
though, like getting up before, I mean, we have one kids, way small scale, but like getting when I try to get up before Ember, and I love when I do get up before Ember to have that time to myself, and as opposed to just letting Ember wake me up.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of mornings where I just want to sleep until Ember wakes me up.
Yeah.
And I think it's so that those days though where I'm really intentional about getting up before her are like my best days.
Yeah.
I just feel so much
I feel activated.
More,
like I can do anything.
Well, it's like I always say, right?
I want to be better about that in 2019. Yeah. Like that's a thing for me. I just want to get up before her at least have like an hour of morning time.
Yeah, here's the problem though, and I think everyone listening, or at least the moms, will be like, yes, see, I totally agree with her. It doesn't matter what time I wake up. The moment my eyes are open, one or all of the kids wake up at that moment.
Funny. Yeah.
So I might as well just sleep until.
One of the things you really enjoy though is all the kids crawling into bed with you in the morning.
I do love it.
So it would be awesome and beneficial if she woke up before the kids, but there's
that's
a treasure.
Most days my mornings look like all my kids in my bed and us just snuggling, loving on each other.
And then breakfast.
For at least, 25 minutes.
And then Aaron gets 25 home.
And then Aaron gets home,
25 minutes, that's awesome.
I was like, 25 minutes? I didn't know that.
Like, geez. I thought it was like
that's
5, 10
cuddling
minutes.
We're going to talk about on. This.
We really enjoy the flexibility 2019,
there's going to be some serious changes. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Okay, guys, second question. What's the best life hack that you've ever discovered? Jen, you go first this time.
Thieves. I use it for everything. Second to baby wipes.
Right.
Second to baby wipes. I use baby wipes on everything.
And what do you do like a 1-to-1 ratio with your
don't tell anybody
cleaner.
This.
Wait, use the thieves wipes or just
no? I use the thieves house cleaner for everything
and thieves toothpaste.
Thieves toothpaste.
And
thieves
oil. And thieves.
But we use water wipes for everything else.
Oh, brilliant. That is probably our. That's a good one. That's like
the
our
only thing I
number
don't
one
like,
life hack is water wipes.
The only thing I don't
everything.
Like about them is they're hard to get out of the package sometimes.
They are. They drive
but I love
me crazy.
They come
we
out
use water wipes.
Audrey gets mad because I pull 100 out and I stuff them all back in like
so
a baseball.
Yeah, then it's this wad ball of just wipe.
But here's the thing.
And they're so moisturized.
I feel like they're putting it upside down.
They are, and there's nothing in them. There's nothing in them. Like they're pretty natural.
100%.
And they take so much stuff out of clothing, of things.
We clean stains right out of like clothes while you're like wearing
they're
them.
Awesome. They're awesome.
And they don't leave smell or oil or anything.
We
use them for everything.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's great.
Clean the entire house.
I feel like after
baby
we had a baby, I was like, wait. Baby wipes were a thing. Like it's like, how does this? How
I
is
will.
This,
oh how is this out of the like, house? I will have baby wipes regularly shipped to my house.
Like how is this not a common household item for like bachelors or?
Well,
stuff,
you
like,
can use them for cleaning off your makeup.
Yeah,
dryer sheet. Like we use the
Ceilings,
Young Living ones for literally like
everything.
So much stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. Okay, Aaron.
Life hack. I would say intermittent fasting. I did
Jeremy and you.
Yeah, I did it for a couple years actually.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's like less work. You don't have to eat anything
totally.
In the morning.
Yeah.
But people are probably like fasting.
Yeah.
Jeremy's talked about it.
I've talked about
it
a little bit on our previous podcast, and we're gonna do a podcast about our health, wellness, diets, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's coming up. But
cool.
But yeah, I would say intermittent fasting. I've since stopped doing it just for some reasons. Personally, but that was a pretty, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
made it
easier. You're good at it.
I was good at it. I loved it.
I don't know how you waited till noon every day.
It was like, so, it's so easy for
Jared. It was a little win.
Easy.
Every time I did it, I was like, oh, I won today.
For me, it was a decision. It's kind of like the first decision you have in a day is when you wake up. So if you dominate that decision, you're winning.
Hey,
right?
That's great. I love
intermittent
that.
Intermittent fasting was like constant decisions of winning. Yeah. And for me, it's been
it was a good feeling.
But
I'm so hungry when I wake up. It hurt me when he fasted because I'm like, how are you not hungry?
Well, and I like to go out to breakfast. And so when I order the fatty breakfast meal and order for Amber and Jared, like, I'll have black coffee. I'm like,
so I would say, again, goes back to knowing how to control it is, if we ever did a special breakfast and we went to our favorite place, I would eat.
So same here. I've done it.
It's not possible for him.
I won't do it for 10 though, because then I feel really icky, but... After 10, like a brunch type thing, I'll do it.
I think for me, it just went to the more self-control, you know, the more power I felt. Mm-hmm. Like, not that I'm pridefully powerful. I just, I can choose to not do that. I can control myself in that way.
Dude, I forget who said it, but there's this quote that is, the truest mark of a man is whether or not he can control himself. Or again, second quote I've got.
Yeah, there's
botched.
A proverb about it too.
There is a proverb about it, but someone had a quote that was just about self-control being the truest mark of a man. Mm. And I found that to be super convicting. I think it was like 2 years ago or something, but it reminded me of it. But I'm going to throw in a additional question. Is there a book you guys are reading right now?
Aaron's reading like four.
This is I go through these seasons.
Wait, you should do question number three and then throw
No. I want to throw in the book real quick and then we'll end with the rose and thorns and roses.
So I go through seasons of like a year and a half of not reading a single book other than the Bible. And then I'll go through a season of like 3 months of I'll read like five books. Yeah. So right now I'm reading The Power of Habit.
Boom, Charles Duhigg.
And it's amazing.
Yes.
I'm also reading and just finished today, Letters to the Church by Francis Chan.
Yes. How'd you like it?
There's some parts of it I didn't like, but I like overall.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. I'm excited to hear
Jared's
about it.
Jared's so stoked on that book.
I'm also reading a book by Ravi Zacharias called Sense and Sensuality.
Haven't heard of that
interesting.
One, but I love Ravi.
What's the other one I'm reading? Oh, I have a devotional.
You're reading five books.
No, he reads like a page or two every day of each.
What a spaghetti head.
Like, I know. Jared's got to finish and conquer one before.
No, I'll start a couple. Now I'm working on two, but.
And then I'm doing a devotional by, I think it's Chuck Smith, maybe. Hmm. I might be saying the name the wrong name. It's a devotional. It's like one page.
Love it. Generally.
So it takes me much longer to get through books because I am just exhausted most of the time. My mental capacity, I like the word used, brain calories.
Yeah. Brain calories.
Yeah. Don't have very many of those right now.
We use that a lot.
My kids take all of my calories.
But if I can say, I just got done finishing A Love Letter Life. Can I say that?
Yes!
Can I say that? Okay.
Yeah. That's right. I totally forgot.
Okay. So good. I forgot.
You guys, you did not prompt that question.
I did not prompt this question.
No, but I have to. I just wanted to share it because I loved it. I loved getting to know you guys more through just hearing your story. Oh, even though I've heard it, you know, getting to read it was so powerful and so romantic. I told Aaron, I texted him, I'm like, we need to be more romantic in 2019.
Yeah, Jennifer's my word for 2019 is romance.
Oh,
and I was like, you're going to romance me more? Oh, my goodness.
No, I said you to me.
I'm really excited for 2019.
No, but
she's
going to
romance me every day.
Amazing. I'm just so excited for, you know, everyone to get their hands on it. And
I love the cover.
I do love the cover. So much movement and just your as well.
As a designer, I just I'm like, this is a very good cover.
Thanks, guys.
And the other thing I'm really excited about is the principle of sharing. I want people to hear that because that is good.
That chapter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
You also, can I bring up
you even. Well,
time out. Jen and Aaron got an advanced reader copy, so that's how they were able to read the book.
Are we allowed to say something?
Yeah, we sent Jen and Aaron an advanced reader copy, so they.
But the book will come out April 2nd. So if you want to grab one, you can alovelotherlife.com.
You can pre-order right now on Amazon, so
or anywhere.
But Jen, thanks. That's super encouraging.
Yeah. Super, super cool. So. Okay, final question: roses and thorns.
Thorns and
which
roses,
is, aka highs and lows. We call them roses and thorns.
Start with your thorn.
Ooh,
yeah, negative
thorn.
Negative.
It can be this week, this month. Just what's something that's been kind of a thorn in your side lately?
So, it doesn't.
There you go.
Let me try that again.
There you go.
Not enough.
What she's
calories.
Trying to say is.
I was trying to say, even though that this episode was about work, I didn't intentionally mean for this to happen. But my thorn is that I didn't get any work time in this week. You know, we had family in town. I do take that personally. I have a hard time with not getting work in because my window to work is so small that when I miss it, it really like
throws you off.
Yeah, it really throws me off. So,
and it also does make you feel valuable, accomplished, like you're pursuing your
when
purpose.
When I get that type, in for sure.
So do you talk, oh, but you had family in town too, and it was the
Christmas.
And stuff.
But
I kept trying to tell myself it's the holidays, we're on vacation,
even
like
then,
this is okay.
Do you talk to Aaron about that and like restructure for next week or
I actually haven't voiced that to him until just now, but now he knows.
Okay.
So we'll make that time happen. Nice.
Thor and Aaron.
Yeah, I would say because of all the holiday stuff, we did 45 episodes in a row of our podcast.
Wow.
Until this last week.
Yeah.
Oh, so you missed it. Oh,
we
bummer.
We missed our Wednesday.
Yeah.
We faithfully have launched something every Wednesday for 45 weeks. And then like, it was actually Wednesday. And I was like, babe, you want to record something right now?
And then I didn't get to prepare. So I was a little frustrated. And
So we launched something
on Thursday.
We took
Christmas and New Year's off. We're like, break.
Yeah.
I know, but we didn't tell anyone. And it was, that was a little bit of a,
that's a bummer.
We launched something on Thursday night.
Yeah.
We launched a half an episode and it was actually pretty, we actually really enjoyed the episode. We had a really good conversation.
Cool. Yeah.
But that was it wasn't a terrible thorn, but that felt a little bit.
Yeah. All right, Jen, what's a rose to smell, something that's been joyful lately?
I get really excited about the new year and just, you know, thinking about the goals that we have and the things that are happening. I'm really looking forward to our book coming out this year in June. Mm-hmm. And that's just been a huge accomplishment, being able to write that. You guys know that we are kind of on the same timeline schedule, but being able to write that with Aaron, and now we're just, you know, working on getting the word out. So,
awesome.
My rose, we went to the trampoline park locally, like 2 days in a row.
Jump High or Aim High or something? What is it?
No, there's a new place. Oh. It's awesome.
Wow.
It's like Ninja
Warrior.
There's
so many of them in bed.
Yeah.
What's the heck?
They're like popping up
and
everywhere.
I, because Jennifer went in with my mom and the little kids shopping, I got to go with just my dad and my nephew and my older son.
Awesome.
And I actually got to go jump the whole time because it's really hard when you have all the kids. I'm like watching one, carrying another. So I actually got to go play with my son, and it was so much fun.
That is fun.
That was a legitimate.
That's fun, like when they're at the age where you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, and he's like doing flips and like,
he'll
going
that.
And doing this American Ninja Warrior thing.
Yeah. That's
like,
so fun.
It was so much
cool.
Fun.
That's great.
Well,
so
awesome.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. So, guys, tell us where we can find you. What's going on? What's coming up? The book I know is coming out. Is there an Instagram? Where can we find you?
I would just say marriageaftergod.com is going to be where the landing page will be. Right now, it's got our podcast on there and a little image of our book. And then shop.marriageaftergod.com is where we have all of our other books.
Thanks. Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Super excited for your book. We can't
wait.
Yeah,
we're super pumped.
We really
love you guys.
It's about all this stuff
we expect
about.
To get an advance for your copy.
Yeah.
You are.
Awesome. Definitely.
You're on the list.
Awesome, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being on, you guys. It's really fun.
Thanks for having us.
We love you guys. Thanks for talking.
Love you too.